Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk, intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to catch my drift this beautiful Saturday. Finally looks like spring and summer. Sorry I was gone last week. Circumstances beyond my control kept me from coming in to accompany Derek here on the airwaves. So thanks to Derek and Jay McNally for filling in for me last week. That was pretty awesome of them at last minute to handle that for me. So we've got a great show today. What we do on The Drift every Saturday is go through the news of the week, give you my opinion, hopefully get your opinions, and you are welcome to call 734-822 on 1600 on any subject that you wish to call in. And we've got a lot I want to try to get to today, so we're going to kind of go rapid fire through some of this. But let's take care of our sponsor for this half hour is The Daily Drift. Go to thedailydrift.com for the news you need to know. What I do every day is, every night actually, before the day hits, is put up all the stories from the internet that you can go and find yourself, but I make it easy for you by putting them into one place. And it's the stuff that you won't see in the mainstream media. It is truly the news you need to know so that you're not being fooled by your government. So go to thedailydrift.com, www.thedailydrift.com. And check it out. Now, if you want to advertise on The Daily Drift, I get lots of web hits every day. So you can reach me, 734-629-6010. Or you can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com. And you can also email me your comments. If you don't feel like calling into the show today, you can always email me your comments. Love to get your feedback and input. So one of the things we're going to talk about today is Obamacare, one of my favorite subjects, because let's face it, it's the biggest lie probably told in the last 6 years by the Obama administration when they said it was going to save us money. I don't really think it's going to save us money, and all the indicators thus far is that it is not. Insurance rates for people, their insurance programs at work are actually getting more expensive, and it's just costing us money. Now, one of the things Obamacare was supposed to do was, you know, help poor people get healthy, to make a difference in the lives of those people who don't have medical coverage in some fashion or another, and that more and more people are just going to the emergency room. So there was a great article done on what was called the Oregon Study in Michigan Capital Confidential. And if you're not going to Michigan CapCon, you should be. I put all the links to my right on my website. That'll take you right there. You get all those stories that you need to. And joining us today to talk about the Oregon Study is Jarrett Skorup, who is the content manager for Michigan Capital Confidential. Jarrett, good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
Gary, yeah, thanks for having me on. You're still transitioning from that morning to this afternoon.
I am. It's been very difficult. I always want to say good Sunday morning, and it's Saturday afternoon, so it doesn't work for me yet, but I'm slowly getting there, and with Derek's help, he kind of reminds me. So, yeah, and thanks again to you guys at Mackinac Center and Michigan CapCon for doing what you do. You've got a lot of great articles, it seems like, every week, and one of them was about the Oregon Study. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the Oregon Study?
Yeah, sure. This was a study by the New England Journal of Medicine. It is, you know, highly reputable. It's probably the best health economist in the country, and so this is something that's been going on since 2008. And basically what happened was it's very difficult to measure how well something like healthcare spending affects people because it's hard to get the correct the type of groups. So what happened in Oregon was back in 2008, they had said they were going to allocate enough money for 10,000 people. And so these researchers, what they did was they did this totally by a blind lottery because they had like 20,000 people that wanted it. So what these researchers did was they took some of the people who, about 6,000 of the people who got the Medicaid, who were put on Medicaid with the state money, and they took about 6,000 of the people who weren't, who tried to get on but didn't, and they matched them up based on you know, how good their health was and gender and race and age and all these different areas. And all they did was they just measured the health outcomes between those people before and after. And what ended up happening was there was no statistical difference by going on Medicaid. So there was some difference in a few areas, but basically people didn't get healthier going on Medicaid. So there's a lot of reasons for this, and one of them is that Medicaid a lot of times just isn't that good of coverage. So this is important right now in Michigan because you have the Michigan House and Senate and the governor who want to expand Medicaid to more and more people here in the state. Now, this is a provision in Obamacare that originally forced every state to expand their Medicaid rolls. But the Supreme Court ruled that they couldn't force states to do it. They had to make it optional. So you're having a big fight here in Michigan over whether to expand Medicaid. And this study is really important for that because you don't really want to spend all that money, which, you know, in the end is going to be $1 billion a year if you're not getting outcomes from it.
Yeah, and the whole premise of Obamacare was to let's get people more healthy and it'll save us in the long run. But even spending this money to cover them, they're either not going or they're getting substandard care, and it's just not helping.
Right, right. And this is the second. There's only been two studies that have been large-scale randomized controlled trials. So basically where you have people where the only difference in their lives is whether or not they're getting this type of health care, and both of them did not find any significant changes in the health of people. So I talked to a guy named Ovik Roy, who the Mackinac Center brought in to speak on this. He's a health policy expert, and what he would say, he actually supports universal health coverage, but what he would say is if you want to do it for low-income people, you don't want to just flat-out give them Medicaid. What you want to do is you want to expand either by a high-deductible HSA, which is what happened in Indiana and what Florida has proposed. So the problem is, with under Obamacare, the HHS has said, you can't do that. You have to do Medicaid. And they don't let states kind of pick and choose and do their own programs to kind of see what works. So the controversy now at the federal level is, okay, well, if you want to expand more health care to poor people, what's the best way to do it? And it seems pretty clear that just large-scale Medicaid with no buy-in from anyone, that's not the best way to do it.
Yeah, I noticed, too, in one of these articles that you wrote, that a doctor, when he's getting paid for a Medicaid patient, is only really getting 47 cents on the dollar?
Right, yeah. And so that's one of the issues, too, with Medicaid, because if you're... So the plan is to keep expanding Medicaid, but the federal government promises they're going to pay 100% of the cost for a while, and then that's going to go down to 90%. So what a lot of people are worried about is that if the federal government reneges on that, well, over the years, the amount that Medicaid has paid to doctors, that amount has gone down, and it's gone down compared to regular insurance. So a lot of doctors and a lot of hospitals are dropping Medicaid around the country. And so... ironically, when you're trying to expand coverage to poor people, but if you're telling them, the doctors, you're going to take Medicaid, but we're going to pay you less, well, once they start dropping it, then you have people who can't get access. So right now, this isn't a huge problem. Medicaid is accepted most places in Michigan, but in other parts of the country and in some places in Michigan, if the doctors and hospitals drop that, well, then some people are going to be out of luck because they're going to have a hard time finding places that will take Medicaid.
Yeah, I guess if I were to put myself in a doctor's shoes and I'm taking a private insurance person and getting a dollar for a dollar's worth of service, and yet I get a Medicaid patient comes in and I'm only getting less than half of that.
Right.
Well, it's pretty plain to see. I'm going to try and fill up my roster with private insurance patients as opposed
right.
to Medicaid.
Yeah, and so sometimes what would happen is a doctor might say, okay, I'm going to take Medicaid because, you know, I might as well, and maybe out of the goodness of their heart, or they just want to take it because they don't have other patients. But right now, you're going to see, over the next couple of years, you're going to see more and more, we're going to need more doctors to cover these patients. So if Medicaid says, we're going to pay you half, then those doctors are going to say, well, forget it. I'll only take this very expensive insurance. And so that kind of, you know, does two things that are bad. One, it incentivizes them to take insurance that costs more, but it also means they're going to be serving people who have very good insurance. So expanding Medicaid, like I said, ironically, could end up hurting poor people because it's just not as good of medical coverage, and that's what this study shows. So there's a lot of different ways to try to expand coverage, and of course, at the Mackinac Center, we would say you want to do it with properly aligned incentives. You don't want a kind of one-size-fits-all thing. And, you know, one of the problems with Obamacare is it's really limiting these high deductible plans, which are the ones that, you know, you really want people to at least buy in. Even if you're somebody that's very poor, you know, a lot of people would say at least they should pay $5 copay or something. Just pay something so that they know that they have to do that out of pocket. And that's what most people in the state end up paying. But unfortunately, Obamacare really restricts the state from requiring that.
Yeah, I guess it almost makes me want to think outside the box a little bit, Jared, and say, you know, why if poor people, say in Detroit, where we have a lot of bad neighborhoods and people are very, very poor and 60% of them are unemployed, wouldn't it be cheaper just to hire some doctors, put them on salary, and tell people in that area, as long as you're unemployed or below whatever level, poverty, financial level, you can go there and pay your dollar copay or whatever, you know, pay something. I like the idea of paying something, but it seems like it would be cheaper just to get some of these doctors and, you know, maybe the new doctors so they can get some experience, whatever, and give them that, you know.
Right, and I would say that's actually the worst part of Obamacare in general, in my opinion, because you're doing a one-size-fits-all thing where, you know, you're not really letting states kind of figure out the best way, how much they want to pay towards the plans and see what starts working. There's going to be a medical conference down in Ann Arbor, and I was talking to a doctor I know in Grand Rapids, and she was telling me that there's one of the new things that some doctors are doing is they're not even taking Medicaid or Medicare. They're just posting their amount because they have to spend so much money on the paperwork and the legal fees in order to do it, to comply with the regulations, that they can charge 75% less for the same procedure just by posting, here's what it is, ensuring competition, and then driving prices down, which competition tends to do.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you my own personal experience. It wasn't that many years ago I didn't have insurance, and I found a great doctor in Brighton who took cash only. And her prices were incredibly low. I mean, for me to go in and get a physical, get some antibiotics for a sinus infection, even get a cortisone shot in my shoulder, I would walk out for like $70. And she said, I don't take anybody's insurance. You pay cash before you leave. That's it. And that's how she keeps her prices so low. It was incredible. And she was a great doctor, too. Let me assure you, I should probably plug her, but I don't know if it's the right thing to do. But just a great, great program. And I thought to myself, why aren't more doctors doing that? You know, because now that I have insurance, I can't really go to her unless I pay cash. And let me tell you, I think about it all the time. I want to go back to her because she was such a good doctor and pay cash and forget my own insurance, you know?
Yeah, I kind of started realizing this when I came out of college. And same thing, I was paying for my own insurance, but I was 22 years old. And I just wanted, you know, if I had some very serious illness to get covered. So anything that I had, I was just going to pay. I paid cash for. And I didn't end up having to do that. But I remembered looking through my policy when I'm this 22-year-old male and how the state mandates that my insurance cover pregnancy and parts of breast cancer and just all and birth control and things like that. And I was just thinking, I don't understand why I have to pay for all this stuff.
Right.
And it's just, you know, and sometimes, you know, of course insurance companies they could offer plans that do that. But right now in the state, you know, you have these mandates that come down and now the new autism coverage, which is just kind of hard, you know, for something to be against. And, you know, that's sad, you know, for families that have to deal with special needs and stuff, but there's really not a reason why a 22-year-old should have to pay for that, you know, this single 22-year-old. And it drives up the cost of insurance for that person and for everybody else. So,
right. Well, Jared, can you hang tight through this break and come back on the other side? Because I want to finish this up and I want to talk about film subsidies real quick. Can you hang on?
Absolutely.
Okay, hang tight. Thanks.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Chelsea Painters 40th Annual Art Fair will be held on Saturday, June 1st and Sunday, June 2nd from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the courtyard of Silver Maples of Chelsea, 100 Silver Maples Drive in Chelsea. 25 award-winning artists will display and sell original fine art and cards in a variety of media. This event is free and open to the public, wheelchair accessible, and is held in a park-like outdoor setting. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to the Chelsea Center for the Arts and to the Chelsea Community Hospital Auxiliary Scholarship Fund. Additional information, including map, driving directions, and a parking map, is available at chelseapainters.com or by calling 734-719-0092. Hospice of Michigan is expanding care for pediatric patients and their families in Southeast Michigan through the addition of its successful Pediatric Early Care Program, or PEC. Hospice of Michigan is the oldest and largest nonprofit hospice program in the state. It offers a wide range of education and support services to children who have a potentially life-limiting illness. Hospice of Michigan will begin to accept patients and families into the Pediatric Early Care Program in Southeast Michigan in mid to late April. PEC is appropriate when a child is diagnosed or is living with a potentially life-limiting illness, continues to receive curative treatment, and is not yet eligible for hospice services. Hospice of Michigan provides a wide range of PEC services, including compassionate support and education for the whole family to help maintain the child's comfort of body, mind, and spirit. For more information, call Hospice of Michigan's Care Center 24/7 at 888-247-5701 or go to HOM.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch My Drift this Saturday afternoon. And we're talking about Obamacare and kind of health exchanges. And we've got Jarrett Skorup, the content manager for Michigan Capital Confidential, on the phone with us discussing this. Jarrett, welcome back.
Yep, good to be back.
Okay. So there were a couple other items or facts, I guess, that you hit in your one of your articles here. And it was the fact that a University of Virginia study found that surgical patients on Medicaid were 97% more likely to die before leaving the hospital than similar patients with private insurance. That just blew me away. Is it really that bad?
Yeah, that's one of a few studies that have been done on Medicaid, and Mr. Ulrich really pointed me towards that study. And yeah, for some of those, you're not. That one tries to match up the same people as much as possible, but yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily help to have health coverage if it's going to be worse health coverage. And in some of these studies have found that going on Medicaid is actually the same or worse than not having insurance at all.
Right. That's just astounding. And yet we never heard any of that during the whole debate about Obamacare. And even Governor Rick Snyder right here in Michigan, you would think he, being a businessman, would look at this instead of kind of going along with the game here. Does that make any sense?
Well, I mean, one of the other areas with the windfall coming in from the federal government is you're going to get a lot of money up front, And so what Governor Snyder's proposing is to take some of that money and put it into a fund, but in the short term, certainly it would help the state's bottom line. So, you know, what people are saying is that the critics of the Medicaid expansion is, well, one, we're not going to count on the federal government to hold their promises, but two, in the long run, this is going to kill us. One of the quotes I had in the story from Ova Karoy was that there's nothing courageous about taking a bunch of money up front and then, you know, expanding this program for all your predecessors to have to deal with.
Yeah, that's kicking the can down the road in a big way, you know.
Just so people know, I mean, this is a debate right now. Michigan is one of a few states where they have not signed on to the Medicaid expansion yet. So some senators want the Medicaid expansion. The governor wants it. And right now the House is the one that is holding it up, giving this a second look.
And so I'm taking it you disagree with the expansion. It's a bad idea, right?
Yeah, we would say at the Mackinac Center, what we'd say is it's just not it's not a program we want to tie more people to, and more importantly, it's not worth the money. And that's what's so important about the Oregon study is even if you say, okay, there's some benefit, some small benefit, it's clearly not worth the money. I mean, you could spend $1 billion a lot better on other areas that are going to do more for your economy than you could on something like Medicaid. And so what our position generally would be is, we should figure out a way to provide, if you're going to provide insurance, do it with a copay, with a high deductible HSA, with other programs that have proven to be much more successful and would actually do a better job of solving the problem of people's health needs.
Right. Yeah, and then the last fact that Mr. Roy discussed and you discussed was the myth of free market U.S. health care. A lot of people think right now or before Obamacare takes effect that we were really a free market health care system, and that's not quite the fact, is it?
Yeah, that was something that was interesting to me, and I do public policy research for a living. I mean, I knew some of this stuff, but yeah, so some people would have this idea that America has this total free market healthcare system. A lot of conservatives understand that that's not true, but what they would say is, well, we actually have more free market than places in Europe. That's actually not true. Just in pure government spending per person, America spends the fourth most in the world, behind the Netherlands, Luxembourg, and Switzerland.
Wow, that's amazing.
Behind Netherlands, Luxembourg, we spend three times as much per person as Switzerland. So even in these countries that have universal coverage, we're spending a lot more. So, you know, there's an issue there. There's a problem there that we need to figure out what it is when we're spending this much money. And, and of course, we do have the best medical coverage in a lot of different areas, but we're probably not getting the bang for the buck that we can. And, you know, that's a whole long story of why. But
yeah, that's amazing. Three times as much per person as Switzerland. Yeah, that one blew me away as well. So great stories. Glad that you guys are staying on top of it and getting that. The other thing I wanted to touch on before I lost you was you did an article on film subsidies, which is always kind of is one of my pet peeves as well. You want to talk a little bit about the film subsidies in the state of Michigan?
Yeah, that's another thing that's very important right now. The Michigan, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, we have a film subsidy program that this was under Governor Granholm. This was started where we flat out reimburse up to 42% of a film cost. So if they came here, if a Hollywood company came here and filmed, the state would just write them a check for 42% of what they spent. That's been cut to 32% by the Republicans, and there's a big fight going on with this right now. Under Granholm, this program was uncapped, so they would spend over $100 million a year. The last couple years, it's been capped. Right now, it's capped at $50 million. The House budget, for the first time, the House Republicans have cut the subsidy totally. The Senate, a lot of the Michigan senators really like this program. So you have on one side the governor and the House who don't like it, and the Senate who does.
Yeah.
So right now, this is for the first time that this program could actually be cut. And so what we're saying is this is not a good way to spend money. You're subsidizing these millionaires and billion-dollar companies. We should spend that money on roads and other areas.
Exactly. Well, Jarrett, thank you again so much for everything. We'll be in touch and hopefully have you on again.
All right, Gary. Thank you.
Take care.
Why
Slam Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. Another so-called insider attack in Afghanistan. NATO reporting an Afghan army soldier has turned his weapon on coalition troops, killing two international service members. Earlier, NATO reporting five Americans were killed by an IED in southern Afghanistan.
The five U.S. troops who died today come on the heels of the deaths of three British service members earlier in the week, also killed by a roadside bomb.
Fox Radio's Kimberly Adams. Damp air off the Pacific, helping in the fight against a southern California wildfire, now 30% contained, and 19 horses getting ready to run for the roses.
160,000 people, despite the rain, are expected to be here at Churchill Downs. Security is up. No coolers allowed, no big purses, and no big backpacks.
Fox's Anna Koyman. Backpacks also not welcome at the largest bike tour in America, taking place tomorrow in New York City. Fox News. We report, you decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current. To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current newspaper is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown to six times its size since 2007 because we have a unique venue for local content, common sense opinion, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Sam Iaquinto at 734-323-0777. That's 734-323-0777. Or go to currentonline.com. That's C-O-U-R-A-N-T-online.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
This is the Clark Cast with Matt Clark.
It's the problem with these big government pinheads. They believe, you know, if we just keep passing all this legislation, if we just grant more entitlements, more waivers, more this, more that, we have this nice mixture of all this big government stuff, offering more taxes over here to tax the rich so we can pay for all of this over here, and then everything will be fine. That doesn't work.
Don't miss the Clark Cast, live Sunday afternoons, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for coming in and tuning in to catch The Drift this Saturday afternoon. Great information from Jarrett Scorp. Again, Michigan Capital Confidential. You can get all the links to their stuff at thedailydrift.com. Get stories and links to all the good stuff they have. They're really doing a great job. So read their stuff, stay informed, make your choices come election time in 18 months or so. Now, we didn't hit the last part of that Obamacare thing was Eric Cantor. I think he's a minority whip for the GOP in the U.S. House of Representatives, has actually stated just recently that there will soon be a vote, full vote of the House, to repeal Obamacare very soon. And we'll have to wait and see what happens. That's the first we've actually heard that. So beware of that. Now, our sponsor this half hour is The Current newspaper, C-O-U-R-A-N-T-Online.com, CurrentOnline.com. You can get all the information you need to advertise in The Current. It's a monthly publication. Newspaper format. We do community news. We do conservative opinion, which unlike, I can't say I know of another newspaper that's conservative hereabouts in these parts. So a good place to brand and market your own business. We have grown, as you've heard the commercial say, six, it's actually seven times its size now. When I took over as editor, it was 5,000 circulation. We are now at 35,000. And 32,000 of those are actually mailed out to people's homes via the U.S. Post Office. So a good place to get your message out for pennies on the dollar. You can call Sam Iaquinto, 734-323-0777. And besides the print formats, you also get your ads seen online for free at currentonline.com. You can click on the monthly edition of it, and it'll pull up in a flip doc format, which is really convenient and really cool looking. So again, go to currentonline.com, C-O-U-R-A-N-T-online.com. So our great grand leader, President Obama, took a little trip to Mexico this week and once again began the apology tour. So as I called it, our apologist in chief at the Daily Drift, he went to Mexico and was speaking with the president down there about problems of economics and everything else, and wanted to blame America for much of the violence that goes on in their country. And Derek, do we have that track from him? Let's go with that.
And in the United States, we recognize our responsibilities. We understand that much of the root cause of violence that's been happening here in Mexico, for which so many Mexicans have suffered, is the demand for illegal drugs in the United States.
Okay, yeah, the demand in the United States is causing drug dealers over there to behead people and to kill people. He goes on and talks about our gun culture, too, being we're the ones supplying all these drug dealers' guns. Yeah, you don't think there's guns coming out of Honduras or Cuba or Venezuela to get into Mexico? It's outrageous the things this man says. I haven't gotten this anger in a long time, but listening to that just aggravated me to the point. It's like, when are we as Americans going to stand up and tell this man, stop apologizing for us? You know, our gun culture, you don't see law-abiding legal gun owners running guns to Mexican drug lords. You may see the federal government running drugs to drug or guns to drug lords, but you don't see honest, law-abiding American citizens doing that, Mr. Obama. That's you and your cronies, Eric Holder, running guns to the drug lords. So how dare you, sir? How dare you blame America for things that you are guilty of, not us? All right, so I'm off my rant on that one. We got the audio clip done. Let's take a quick look. We had a little more sequester nonsense going on this week. First, they had the FAA saying that we needed control towers cut back because of the sequester. And then we gave them a little money out of the Congress, and I guess they needed to do that. But it makes you wonder why we spend some of the money that we do in the United States government. Here's one that really bummed me out because, and you can see these stories at thedailydrift.com. The Department of Defense signed a contract to pay $59 a gallon for green jet fuel. That means economically friendly or ecologically friendly jet fuel. $59 a gallon. And I saw that and I thought to myself, well, how much does jet fuel really cost? So I went online today and found a daily jet fuel website that tells people how much you should be paying for your jet fuel. If you can guess, Derek, you want to take a stab at it? Nah, you can't even take a guess. $2.76 as of April 29th is what you pay for jet fuel, and yet the federal government has contracts to pay $59 a gallon for that same jet fuel just because it came from some green weenie company that did it ecologically sound, allegedly ecologically sound manner. There's a company called Gevo who signed a U.S. Army contract for 3,650 gallons of, they call it renewable jet fuel. I don't know if you can grow jet fuel somewhere. Maybe you can, and we just don't know about it. The initial order has now been increased by 12,500 gallons of $59 a gallon green jet fuel. Now, people should be outraged. You know, you're talking about $85 billion sequester, which is nothing, frankly, in the grand scheme of our $3.6 trillion budget. And yet we can freely go out and pay $59 a gallon for jet fuel when you can pick it up for $2.76. It's a disgrace, and you should be calling your congressman. If you go to thedailydrift.com or garywellings.com, I've got all the phone numbers and emails for your legislators. Go there, lock those numbers into your phones, and make those calls either on your way into work or on your way out of work, and pester them. Let them know that you're outraged about these things. It's aggravating to see this kind of stuff happening. There was another study done out this week, shifting gears a little bit, to North Korea is still working on a nuclear missile that's capable of reaching the U.S. Now, they did some space shots, and you may think, well, big deal if Korea wants to put a satellite into orbit. Well, the fact that they can put a satellite into orbit means they can also put a nuclear warhead into orbit. And there was a big brouhaha about U.S. Defense Department report saying North Koreans now had the ability to do this. Well, they backtracked and said, no, they don't. And that's partly because the reentry vehicles that are part of a nuclear warhead, it goes up, it's got to come down without burning up so that it can explode and kill us, obviously. They haven't reached that point of doing their reentry vehicle successfully with a warhead on it yet. So thank goodness that they have not. But it makes me want to just again look at that. Now, we did get an audio postcard. Let's liven it up a little bit here, Derek. I got to laugh after all this nonsense. We have an audio postcard from, allegedly, Kim Jong-un. Let's roll with that.
How royal, Gary Wellings. Kim Jong-un here. I interrupt my favorite TV show, MASH, to send you audio postcard. Before I begin, I must say, I like a Hawkeye. He's sympathetic to Korean people's cause, while Frank Burns makes me want to launch Nuki Bomb on Longdong Silver Missile today. But I digress. I hear your imperialist warmongering radio show, The Drift on Wham Radio over the internet, and read your daily drift make me laugh. You think America better than Democratic People's Republic of Korea? Korean People's Army has fourth largest army in the world, with 1.2 million commandos ready to storm across border to liberate American-occupied puppet South Korea. We have the highest percentage of military personnel per capita of any nation in the world. Our military strategy, designed for insertion of agents and sabotage behind enemy lines. Korean People's Army operate 4,000 tanks. We have 18,000 artillery pieces that can destroy Seoul in less than an hour. We have largest special forces in the world, as well as the largest submarine fleet. Glorious People's Army have nuclear and ballistic missile weapons. 10 Nuki bombs with capability to deploy on intermediate...
Nuki bombs. Okay, so, yeah, I'm sure that's really not Kim Jong-un, but it could be. Obviously, you can see Dennis Rodman must be over there spreading, you know, his taste in music. To young Kim Jong-un. So I had to play that. It was a hoot. Thank you for having that submitted, whoever you are, Kim Jong-un. Glad to know that you're listening. But let's not stray too far from the subject of nuclear weapons. Now, we all know that since Obama has come into office, he's been on a gangbuster roller coaster tour to try and eliminate or reduce a lot of the American nuclear stockpile. And while he's trying to reduce our nuclear capabilities, why you would want to do that, I don't know. That's that capability that caused the Soviet Union to fall. In the meantime, Russia's military announced last month that as part of a nuclear buildup, Moscow later this year will deploy the first of its new intercontinental ballistic missile called the Yars-M. So, does this make sense to you, Derek? We're reducing our nuclear one-sidedly. Hey, let's cut back. We've got too many of these things. And Russia's saying, we want some more. What do they know that we don't? You know, it always bothers me that people sandbagged Mitt Romney for calling the Russians the Soviet Union. Well, they still are basically the Soviet Union. It's the same people. It's Vladimir Putin, who was head of the KGB back in those days, is now the president, and he's not standing down. He's not trying to cut back on nuclear weapons. This guy is building up, and here Obama is slowly but surely trying to diminish absolutely everything we have militarily. It makes absolutely no sense. Even the Chinese now have another ballistic missile they call a carrier killer that they're deploying in China to try and push us back from helping Taiwan, because eventually they would like to reclaim Taiwan. So while the North Koreans are looking to build nuclear missiles, while the Iranians are looking to build nuclear missiles, while the Russians and the Chinese are increasing their nuclear buildup, Barack Obama, with blinders on, thinks everything's rosy and hunky-dory in trying to reduce our nuclear stockpile. Representative Mike Rogers, who, I don't know, maybe he'll run for U.S. Senate against Gary Peters, who knows, is saying we're reducing money, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. So something to be aware of. Make sure you call. And once again, you hear me say it all the time. You need to be active politically. If you are retired, you should be calling regularly. The people who work at your senators, state and at the federal level, they should know your name by heart. If you're retired and no longer working, you should be busy. You should be busy all the time calling people. Let them know who you are. Because you know what? You're welcome to call this show and say, Gary, I talked to Debbie Stabenow, and she basically told me, shut up. She wasn't going to listen to me, because basically I think she does that quite a bit. This show is a venue for those of you who politically get active. You can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com. You can call me, 734-629-6010. I will gladly put you on this radio show and have you tell your story of how you were treated when you brought one of these subjects up to your congressman or to your senator. This is important stuff. You got to stay active. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue with more of the nonsense coming out of your federal government. See you on the other side.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Don't miss Theron's Saturday Night Rockin' Rhythm Review. Your fingers will be popping. It all kicks off at 4 p.m. with a special Saturday night edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show.
I came to rock, baby. I don't know about you.
Then, from 6 to 8, it's Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie.
Sharing with you music I love.
At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots with Radio John D's Greasy Skillet.
Sit back and relax while we hit those wagon ruts.
Then, Johnny Danger invites you to go cruising with the best oldies from 10 to midnight.
We've got the mix going tonight on The Cruisin' Show.
Dan Martin takes you across the pond for the best of the UK on London Calling at Midnight.
The Stones and their 1963 rendition of the Lennon-McCartney track, I Wanna Be Your Man.
Followed by Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go, from 2 to 4.
Your friend of mine, Mr. Rockin' Lloyd Tripp and his band, The Zip Guns. I am DJ Del Villarreal.
It all starts Saturday afternoon at 4 on the musical side of Wham. You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. Send the Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift here on Wham Talk 1600. Glad to be here. Good Saturday. Missed last Saturday. Sorry about that. We had some good stories today, and one story that never seems to go away is this Benghazi story. We had breaking news about an hour or two ago. There are three whistleblowers. Now, you remember we had survivors. For the first 6 months after Benghazi, I don't think any of us even knew there were survivors from Benghazi, the Benghazi attack that killed Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans. And, you know, the Obama administration has played it off. They gave different stories. They frankly lied about a number of issues of how this happened. First, they said it was just a protest that went crazy. And then they finally had to admit that it was indeed an al-Qaeda attack. And then they had to admit that, well, they were ignoring pleas for help and that they were ignoring requests for additional security forces. And yet the media seems to just blow it off and not really pursue it too much. And we got through an election. That if all this had come out prior to the election, we probably wouldn't have Obama in office right now. But with this breaking news, let's hear track three, I think it is, Derek. The breaking news on the whistleblowers. Go ahead.
These three men will be challenging the official review board that investigated the attack, saying they were not allowed to offer up what they knew about that fateful day. Hello, everybody. I'm Uma Pemaraju in Washington. Molly Henneberg is leading off this hour with the breaking news alert. Molly?
Uma, these three men are going to tell their stories Wednesday before a House committee. Two of them have not been heard from publicly before now. And there's been much back and forth this week between congressional Republicans and the Obama administration over whether these three have been prevented from telling their stories to Congress. This time around, anyway, one of them, Eric Nordstrom, was the top security officer in Libya in the months leading up to the Benghazi attacks. He has spoken publicly last fall when he told Congress that he and others had asked the State Department for more security for the Benghazi consulate and were, he says, turned down. But he has more information that he wants to tell Congress. Two other men who describe themselves as Benghazi whistleblowers are Gregory Hicks, the second highest ranking U.S. diplomat in Libya at the time of the attacks, and Mark Thompson, a State Department counterterrorism official. The Republican committee chairman, Daryl Issa, put out a statement today saying that his committee also may hear from additional witnesses. Issa said, quote, "Our committee has been contacted by numerous other individuals who have direct knowledge of the Benghazi terrorist attack that are not yet prepared to testify. In many cases, their principal reticence of appearing in public is their concern of retaliation at the hands of their respective employers." The Obama administration was peppered with questions this week about whether the White House or the State Department were trying to silence the Benghazi survivors.
Okay, so this is breaking news. And they've scheduled new hearings for May 8th, which is, 4 days away at this point. It should be very interesting. There's a lawyer, actually, who was trying to get some clearance to represent these as yet unnamed other witnesses. And she's been kind of held up. Now, the Obama administration is saying, no, we're not holding anybody up. We're not trying to keep anything quiet. And yet, here it is, not even... Well, it's probably been 8-9 months, I don't know, last June, I guess. So it's getting close to a year. But this is part of what the Obama administration has done. They have dragged this out, hoping we would all forget about it. And really, they have a history of showing this. Let's go with track three. Maybe you remember Hillary, because I don't think you should forget about Hillary in this. She's going to be running for president in 2016. Don't forget that. This woman... will be running for president. Let's hear what she had to say and how she felt about the people that died in Benghazi.
Are because even today, there are questions being raised. Now,
We have no doubt they were terrorists, they were militants, they attacked us, they killed our people. But what was going on and why they were doing what they were doing?
We were misled that there were supposedly protests and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But the American
people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
What difference does it make? Are you kidding me, Hillary? You know, I do not want you for my president, because you know what? It makes a difference. It makes a difference to those families of the 4 people who died. It makes a huge difference. It makes a difference to me as an average American who thinks, you know what, I don't trust my government. I don't trust that they would protect me if they can't protect their own personnel on the ground. Who didn't respond to the request to give them more security? What moron in the State Department put people in danger without giving them the backup they needed? And what about all our armed forces out there right now at risk? Are you not going to back them up? If we end up in a shooting war in Iran or North Korea, does our military feel backed up right now? I don't. I feel bad for those people. I feel bad for our military personnel, because you know what? I don't think they feel backed up. So people were asking this week, as this news kind of broke a little bit, they were asking Jay Carney, trying to put him on the spot. Now, it's Jay's job to spin things. That's his job. I don't know how he sleeps at night, but it's his job. Let's hear how Jay responded to somebody asking him about this new Benghazi information.
Last thing on Benghazi, since the president spoke yesterday briefly about that, the Defense Department and the State Department both have written letters, as I understand it, to Republican Darrell Issa saying that they're not aware of anyone coming to them asking for security clearances for their counsel or anything to come forward. Mm-hmm. First, is that your understanding? And second, if someone were to come forward, if they just haven't technically told their superior or something, if they were to come forward, is the White House willing to let them testify?
Well, again, I mean, that's a hypothetical, but let's be clear. Benghazi happened a long time ago. We are unaware of any agency blocking an employee who would like to appear before Congress to provide information related to Benghazi.
Okay. Benghazi was a long time ago. Hasn't even been a year, Jay. Hasn't even been a year. Calling in, we've got Brandon Drake. Brandon, how are you?
Hey, Gary, great. How are you?
Good, good. Good to hear you, Drake. What's going on?
Hey, one of the many outrages about Benghazi, and I'll still never get over it, is Hillary Clinton, how she testifies and came out of that so propagandized as this wonderful, stellar politician. The polls showed that she was the most popular woman in the world, that if the presidential election was held shortly after, she would be a shoo-in to become president. This woman is so incompetent, such a liar, has accomplished nothing in her career, and the fact that...
Drake, you're still there?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we're going to carry on this conversation in the coming weeks. I need you to come on the show with me, my friend. I always love to get your opinion.
I appreciate that. Maybe next Saturday.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you all for tuning in and listening to me express my views, and yours are always welcome too. So until next time, stay informed. Take care.